I have been anticipating and looking forward to preaching next Lord's Day, and hope you will as well in our series. But here's my heart. We support several missionaries around, and they get to come here about once every 5 to 7 years, maybe 4 to 8 years. And I really feel like it's important we don't just say, here's 5 minutes, share, that when we have the opportunity that we hear from them and allow God to know them better and know and hear their heart. And so, Brother...
Yeah, so many times I get into a pulpit here in the States and I thought, you know, I'm a Samoan. I cannot speak properly the English language, and all these people I'm speaking to, you know, they know English more than I do. But, you know, it's a privilege to preach God's word. Amen. You know, we are homeschooling my son, and we start homeschooling him from, K3. And so everything I start, we start teaching him things. And now he start teaching me some things. Yeah, when we sat there one time and he said, Daddy, what is the meaning of this word? And I was thinking, what in the world? The word he's trying to say, and I said that. So I tried to maneuver the conversation, tried to let him say the meaning so I can. So he has to answer his own question by say the meaning of the word, because, you know, some of the words that he said is beyond what I know. But, it's a privilege to have a son. And thank you, as I said, thank you, your pastor and the church that pray for us. But sometimes it's a very precious to us. I was fasting one time, and there's something at church, so I was fasting, and then my wife knows I was fasting. Cameron does not want to fast. You can see that he does not take fast. And so we drove downtown, and my wife asked me and said, honey, what do you want, to eat when you break your fast? I said, I don't know. Whatever in the fridge, I will eat. And so she asked me again, said, what do you want? And I said, whatever in the fridge, I'll eat. Cameron heard a conversation from the back of the car, and he reached out and he said, Daddy, what about fast food? And so it's precious to us, you know, when we have a son, and, you know, it's exciting to have a son. So not only, you know, bring that aroma in the family, but also he can, sometimes it makes me mad. But, it's okay. God is blessed us with a son. Thank you for that. Thank you for praying for us. Tonight I'm going to look at the book of 1 Samuel, something that I read. And on this trip, and so I kind of looking at it, looking for sermons. As missionary, they always go to a church and thinking of a mission, a mission message, because I'm a missionary. But, you know, sometimes God teaches you some things that you learn, because it's not only something you're looking for to preach, but also reading God's word is to ask God to help you with some of the things that you struggle with. Book of Samuel, chapter 16. I'm going to read several verses here, verse 1 to verse 7, and then we go to the Lord in prayer and pray that we help us with our message. He said in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reign over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before me, before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Father, we come before you. We ask you to help us, Lord, as we look at your word tonight. Help me, Lord, and I will present your word in a way that your people understand. And also I pray that you help me that I proclaim your word in a way that you want me to proclaim tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us every time. And I just pray, Lord, that you be with this congregation. Pray that your Holy Spirit will make us understand everything that we say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you look at, I entitled this message, is why am I here? Why are you here? It's a kind of unusual title for the sermon, but you know, as we go along, you probably get why I'm entitled this message, why I'm here. You know, you probably ask yourself, why am you here tonight? You know, you probably say, I'm a member, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to be here. I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a pianist, I'm a member of the choir, I am a preacher, I have to be here. But there's a reason why we choose to be here. We like to fulfill our roles and function as God wants us to do in a fellowship of his saints. You know, God brought Samuel for a reason. You know, if you look at the book of Samuel from the beginning, you know, when we go back to the history of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, you know, they Joshua led them to the promised land. You know, as Moses died before they step over to the promised land, you know, Joshua took the children of Israel and then he divided the nation of Israel to the 12 tribes. And then after that, you know, when Joshua passed away, no one, you know, he didn't train anybody. And then the time of the judges came over and once in a while when they turned to God, when God will bring the judges to defeat the enemy and then will raise up the Israelites. When they get out of the God, you know, God punished them. And the last judge was Samuel. And Samuel came to the scene. If you look at the first book of Samuel, you know, you understand the story of Samuel, how Samuel came to the scene. You know, when Hannah and Elkanah went to the temple to sacrifice, and Hannah asked God, and said, if you can give me your son, I will give back to you. And God answered that prayer, because the prayer that comes from the heart, and Hannah even asked, is that if you give me your son, I will give it back to you. And she keep that promise. And if you look at the life of Samuel, chapter 3 of the book of 1 Samuel, God called Samuel. And God promised that he will take away the house of Eli because of the sin of the son of the Eli. They didn't even do the job right. They were wicked, and God take away the children, the children of Eli. And when Samuel came to the scene, there's a reason why God brings Samuel to the scene. You know, some of the people, when you look at the first verse of the first Samuel, it says Samuel was from the tribe of Ephraim, I think. First Samuel chapter 1, it said, now there is a certain man, Ramathaim, Sophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Saph, and Ephrathite. And Ephrathite is probably from Ephraim. So people say that Samuel, God is not choosing, because the tribe of Levites are the tribe that deal with the house of God, the tabernacle. But Samuel said he's from the tribe of Ephraimite. But you know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 6, mentioned that the genealogy that Samuel was in the family of the Levites. And remember that the family of Levites or the tribe of Levites, they have no inheritance. When Joshua divided the land of Israel, the tribe of Levi, they don't have inheritance. What God did, it put the tribe of Levites in different places. And one of the places that they placed the Levites were Ephraim, and that's where Samuel came from. And he qualified to be a Levite and a priest. So the last priest and the last church of Israel was Samuel. Samuel came in the scene. It's unusual how God brought Samuel. But you know, there's a reason why God brought Samuel to do his will.
That's right.
There's a reason why God brought Samuel to the scene, because God see that the son of Eli are not doing exactly what he told them to do. And God brings Samuel for a reason. You know, we are nothing to compare to these people, these men of God. But you know what? There's a reason why God put you here. There's a reason why God making me alive. You know, I look at my life, sometimes I pause myself and thinking, why did God let me leave? You know, when I was, my mama told me, when I was 2 years old, I still cannot walk. You know, I was, you know, they thought I would be a cripple. But I'm alive. You know, I play rugby. Amen. God's game. I play rugby. I played number 15 when I was playing, first 15. Probably the fastest man running in the back line. And I play rugby. These feet cannot stop that cripple to run. But you know, my mom said she was worried about me because she thought I'm going to you know, be a cripple. She's going to take care of me when I was a baby. When I was 5 years old, I heard a Sunday school teacher in the Methodist church told a story of Jesus. This man, Jesus, came and died on the cross for me. And I was very convicted. 5 years old. She probably did not know how to lead somebody to Christ. But that story told me, in 5 years old, it stuck with me for the rest of my life. You know, I remember that when I go to my family after the church, I get in the back of the box and preaching to my family what I heard. My mom always said, just make him sit down. There are people in the house. But I know that something, God started doing something in my heart then. When I was 14 years old, I fell off the horse. The horse slide in the new tar seal road, slide on the other side. It was sliding on the other side of the road. And the guy that with me tried to pick up rocks from my back. It was a terrible thing. He tried to revive me while I was lying on the road. 18 years old, I asked God for something big and God gave it to me. I'm sure God gave it to me. 22 years old, I was locked in a cell for fighting. 23 years old, I put my trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Best decision I ever made in my life. You know, sometimes I pause myself and look at my life and I thought, why did God let me leave? There are a lot of bad things. You know, the reason why I went to New Zealand, my sister came over and they saw me. You know, I will not live long the way I live in Tambo. They took me out and took me to New Zealand. And God used that way to lead me to the Lord. I was in a family camp and heard a missionary from California preach a gospel message. And first time in my life, I realized and I knew that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. But life is more than what I thought. And I believe there is a reason why we live. Samuel has a reason. God had brought Samuel because there's a reason to live. God wants Samuel to fulfill the role of this priest, and God wants him to follow God. But there's another way. There's a reason to live. There's a responsibility to do. And here we look at this verse here in the First Samuel, and in chapter 16, Samuel was the one that anointed Saul to become a king of Israel. And I believe that Samuel had a good relationship with Saul. Saul always go to Samuel when something wrong. And also Samuel always instructs Saul when something wrong. When Saul they get away from the Lord, Samuel go and talk to Saul. And this relationship is go on and on. And they is kind of investing his life on Saul. And when God said to Samuel, Samuel, I rejected Saul. Because not only Saul operate the things that only the priest can do, he offered sacrifice, and also he did not destroy Amalek when God told him to destroy everything. And when God did, Saul did those things, God said, I will reject Saul. I want you, Samuel, to go to David. I have another man I want you to go reach. And Samuel is not really happy. And this is what comes on our scripture reading today and said, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul? How long you can mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from reign over Israel, fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemites, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Stop dwelling of what you think is right. Stop dwelling on that. You, sometimes in our ministry, we feel like we invest our time with this man. We invest our time with this man, and he just walk away. And hurts. It hurts. Yeah. Pastor, it hurts. Yes. Have a man that he was saved just before we left the last furlough. We had a half night, well, a whole night prayer meeting. And we for 3 days fast, and then he made it. He wasn't saved at the time, but he came to the prayer meeting. And after that prayer meeting, he asked the Lord. He went through that suffering, and he realized that he needed the Lord. But to make the story short, he came to our house. My wife led his wife to the Lord, and he's got 3 kids. He came to our house every Tuesday night for a year. We had Bible study one-on-one. And I invested my life on him, and my family invested our lives on this couple. And he was a good man. He witnessed to his work. He helped us. He's an IT. He can fix every computer, every problems in our church. And last year, he came over and he said, we're moving. We're moving to New Zealand. Got a job, and he's moving. I mean, it's make me hurt. We went home and we realized that they are going. My wife just spawling in the car. It's sad to lose somebody that you invest your life. And I think that's something happened to Samuel here. When God said, Saul, I rejected Saul, Samuel. Why are you keeping dwelling on that? You know, sometimes we're thinking of what we do. But it doesn't matter what we do. Is what God said to do. Is what we need to do. And he said, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him. Can't you see that I rejected him? I want you to fill up your horn. Fill up the horn. It is a thing that they put the oil on. Horn in the Bible is a picture of strength. Oil is a picture of what? Spirit. It says, Samuel, fill up the horn with oil. Just fill up. Your strength is not yourself. It is the Spirit of God going with you. Amen. I want you to fill up your horn. I want you to go. Sometimes we feel like, this is what I should do. You know, I spend all my life on this man. I spend all my life disciple this man. And he's leaving. Now I have to quit. It's not a way to do. Our mission is from the Master. Right. It's not our mission. God said to Samuel, I want you to go. I have a responsibility to. I don't dwell in what I do. I have to do what God wants me to do. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear me, he will kill me. You know, the Bible said, but the Bible says, you know, if he persecute you or they say something about you, they say it before, to me, before you. And even the Great Commission, God said, go. I will be with thee until the end of the world. I will be with you. Every time that we go, we know that God is there. Samuel's scared of Saul, and he said, how can I go? If Saul hear this, he will kill me. Not only there's a reason to leave, there is a responsibility to fulfill. Our responsibility is to do the will of the Father. Jesus said that. Jesus said, I must do the will of my Father. In verse 3, and he said, call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I made unto thee. And Samuel did which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come to me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. If you look at verse 6, it said, it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. You know what? Sometimes people think that missionaries are high up there. Good missionaries, you know, if you are, I can feel my skin. It's the same as, we're all the same. And sometimes we feel like a man of God. I mean, I'm not saying demote the man of God. The man of God is a man of God. God speak to pastors, speak to him. But sometimes I don't feel like God speaking to me. Sometimes I do things in my own strength. Samuel, when he went to Jesse's house, he looked at Jesse's son come before him. And Samuel said, yes, this is the man. He looked at the man, he's tall, he's big, and he said, okay, this is the man. God came over and said, Samuel, don't look at the outside appearance, because God look in the inside. He said in verse 7, he said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not to the countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord look on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen thus. It's nothing. Jesse bring all his sons in the house, and no one. You know, there's a responsibility to do, and also that we have a regulation to follow. Not only that we have a reason to leave. If we have a reason to leave, there is a responsibility involved. If we have a responsibility to fulfill, we need to follow regulations. God regulations. When God says something, we cannot do in our own strength. Right. We go by the will of God and ask God, what is your will in this matter? Sometimes I try to do things in my way. And I feel it. And that's why sometimes I sit down and pause myself and ask God, I said, what do you want me to do? Samuel said, how long? If Saul hear, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. The number one reason to disobey God's command is a fear. The reason why we are not witnesses to people handing out tracts, share the gospel, share our salvation, fear, is because of fear. And fear, he said, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the spirit, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell, Matthew 10:28. And call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto him whom I name unto thee. God said, I have somebody. I will name it to you. You don't do what you want to do. There's a regulation involved. When you go to do God's will, you have to listen to God, what God wants you to do.
That's right.
Not only just go and try to do it in our own ways. There are so many today, they're doing God's work in their own will. The last thing I will bring you attention tonight is there is a reward to enjoy. Not only there's a reason to live, there is a responsibility to fulfill. There's a regulation to follow, but there's a reward to enjoy. He said in verse 8, and Jesse called Abinadab, verse 9 and to verse 12, I said, and Jesse made the Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen this. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet a youngest. And behold, the keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come. And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and with all of the beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. God said to Samuel, don't dwell on a person that you think is. There's other opportunity. God knows what is best. You know, in our mindset, we try to feel comfortable with people that we have. And I feel guilty of that. When I get men and train men, you know, when we always discuss with my wife, as we discuss with my wife, it's a problem. My wife always worry about, you know, we got three men surrendered to preach, but no one surrendered to take over. No one is have a heart to take over a church. And that's our heart. We want them to take over. And sometimes she thinks like, you know, we're not doing it right. And we discuss things in the car when we drive home, and I said, honey, maybe this is not three men that God chose. There are some other two young men, about 15, joining our Bible Institute, really bright guys, teenagers. They're really on for the Lord. And I said to my wife, probably these three men is not what God. Probably these teens. I may be wrong. That means we have to go find more people. You know, it's a thing that keeps on going. I think that's what the heart of God. Not settle for one person. You have to go and get more people for the Lord. I said, stop thinking of Saul. There's a David there. You know, Samuel didn't live long to see the kingdom that Israel, that David built. He only saw Saul's kingdom. And if you read the book of Samuel and the first king, Samuel died during the time of Saul's reign. And after that, David built a kingdom that no one else can imagine. What I'm saying is we settle for what we think is right. But what God is provide for us and God in store for us is more greater than what we think. You know, there's a David out there. There's a David out there that we need to reach.
That's right.
I love biography, reading biography. And I reading a biography of different men, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon went to a meeting, and because of the weather, you know, he re-diverted his way, and he went to a little Methodist church. It's about 20 people there, that service. And when he went to that meeting, the pastor wasn't there too. Because of the weather, the pastor did not come to church because of a snowstorm. And there was an old preacher there, old man, came on the pulpit and preaching that morning. Substitute the pastor. No one knew his name. his text was, look up to God. And that message stick with Charles Spurgeon. And that message bring Charles Spurgeon to the Lord. Amen. Until this day, we don't know the man. But we know Charles Spurgeon. We know Charles Spurgeon because he led a lot of people to the Lord. We settle for what we think is right. But God has somebody else. You look at the life of who heard of Mordecai Ham? You hardly heard Mordecai. But you hardly heard Mordecai Ham. But he's the one that led Billy Graham. We heard Billy Graham all the time. But we never heard of Mordecai Ham. We never know there's a David out there. We never know another Billy Graham out there that we never reach. But we're still dwelling in this soul that we think we spend more time on this soul. We need to look out to the people that they need the Lord. We need to go out and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't settle for what we think is right. God has a plan for us to go out. The commission said, go to all the world, preach the gospel. We have a job to do. There's a reason for me to leave. My testimony, I was saved when I was 23. I grew up in a Methodist church, and my dad is a preacher. I heard the gospel, but never no one tell me for sure that I'm going to heaven. And when I moved to New Zealand, a missionary from California, preaching a weekly camp, and first time in my life I heard him, and I cracked that message. And I still remember today the message I was saying. He preaching on the 10 lepers. And that message bring real to me the message of salvation. He make an invitation. I woke up to him and I said, I just want to be saved. And 2 years later, I surrendered to preach. That call come with a call. Go back to Samoa. God pointed me to go back to Samoa. 2 years later, I just got in New Zealand. I went to New Zealand for, you know, I see a lot of nice things. Your pastor was there. And I thought, this is where I'm going to live. This is where I was born. I get to my new home. God said, go back. It takes me 13 years to answer that call because I did not want to go. You know, escape. I know that God called me. Everywhere I went, I joined the military, New Zealand military, because I didn't want to go. I operated my own taxi because I didn't want to go. You know, I make all this money. You know, 6 months later, my taxi turned about 3 times on the road. My sisters here, they know all the story. And right off the taxi in 6 months, brand new taxi, operate. Waste all the money that I spent on that. And I kicked the door, went out. It's only a scratch on my neck. And I said, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Later on, I said, no, I didn't want to go to Samoa. I fled to Australia. I went to Melbourne, stayed there, far away from my family. No one can tell me anything to do. I went to Melbourne and stayed with my cousin for 3 months. I didn't find a job. All the money that I took with me ran out. And I said, I'm not going to leave this with this. So I packed everything in my car, drive up to Sydney. 1 week, I got a job. And I had to catch a bus, go over the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, go to the other side of North Sydney, and I had to walk to my job. And as I walked to my job, I passed Metropolitan Baptist Church. God led me straight to the door of the church. And I found out they have a Bible college. Enrolled in Bible college. And I still didn't want to go to Samoa. 2 years in Bible college, I still finished. There was a missionary, my friend missionary in Vanuatu, came over and do his presentation. I said, I'm going to go to Vanuatu. I pray about it. God did not give me peace to go to Vanuatu. And I was about to finish Bible college, and I thought, God, I don't know what to do. But if you want me to go to Sabo, here I am. Send me. That day, step out of my bed at the Bible college, and I feel like something is lifted. Immediately after Bible college, God gave me a wife and a sign of go. Talked to my wife, and I said, I think God called me willing to go with me. From then on, I will never regret what God disciplined my life, tried to lead me to. And I have no doubt of what God wants me to do. And I thank God for his second chance he gave me. I'd be able to minister to our own people. And I told the Lord, I will stay here. And, you know, there's a other David out there. We don't dwell in what's in here. God wants us to go.